Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to unlock the combination to your life's true potential.
Living Out Loud
with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Dr. Birnbaum is a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of What Price Power? An in-depth study of the professional woman in a relationship. She's an expert on depression, women's issues, attaining happiness, and so much more.
You got a gift, my friend.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Hold on.
Yes, you do.
Now, here's Dr. Frieda Birnbaum.
Living Out Loud.
Hello, and welcome to Living Out Loud with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Learn more about Dr. Frieda by going to her website at drfrieda.com. Ms. Birnbaum, what a busy week for you.
Very, very busy. I've been on PIX 11, speaking about Rachel, and then I was on the radio, Fox News, seven shows one after the other, then another show at 1 o'clock, and then another show at 6:30. So I have
yes.
And more shows than that even, but...
If you do not have access to a TV or a newspaper or radio, you will not be. You may not be aware of the fact that Dr. Birnbaum is all over right now. And Dr. Birnbaum, I was wondering if you could please, you know, tell your audience about, if you can you please do an analysis on the shooter of the South Carolina church shooting, which is awful tragedy.
Horrible. I just couldn't believe it, Ryan. When I turned on the news and I said, what? And then I saw it was a black community and was in the church. It just kept getting worse and worse. What is this person thinking? And how many more shootings do we need to have to persecute these black people that really are not doing anything? If anything, they have a belief system, wonderful values that we should all have, and then they're being shot down in the midst of all of this. There were nine people killed. So where do we go? What's with this person who did such a horrible feat, who was really somebody who was mentally ill? And there's a profile about these people that are mentally ill. They really have the loneliness, isolation, feeling of despair, depression. They have all these episodes inside them. And I'm just telling to the listeners, if they know of anybody who is like that, that person really needs some kind of psychological counseling. And we do need to have intervention, free intervention, to bring that person somewhere where there are clinics or doctors to speak to, that they see that there's a change in their personality. If someone is just absorbed in themselves, they really need to look and see what is going on. And even with that, sometimes you can't really find out, but that person that is being looked at will at least feel there's some kind of help somewhere. Any thoughts on that, or should I just tell you, we can talk about, look, there were hundreds of people on a plane. The plane went down. This person was depressed, and they didn't even report it. There was the
school. Did you find it was shocking that they didn't report it?
I find that it is extremely devastating that when you have your hands in someone else's, when you have your lives, I'm sorry, in someone else's hands, and you're worried about the plane, maybe you should also not be worried about the pilot. So how many more things do we have to fear? There's the sharks, and now it's the planes, and what else is out there?
Well, here's the thing. You said what else is out there, and Dr. Frieda, you know, you're somebody who works with people who've experienced personal tragedies, who've experienced trauma offhand. Do you think that the media perpetuates fear? Like, do you think that if they weren't telling you about shark attacks and they weren't telling you about these things, that people would have a lot of fear of them? Do you think they would be a little bit more, I don't know, adventurous and outgoing with their lives?
That's a wonderful point, and you're absolutely right. We do exaggerate what's going on in our lives to the point of reality and perception are blurred, and we don't have the right facts of how to look at what's really going on. When I was on a show about Rachel, and we were discussing what was going on, it was more about the superficial process that she felt black, so she made her face darker, and she wore these dreadlocks. But so what? Is that destructive? Is that something to really complain about? All right, she did harass and she did something unethical. That's separate. But the topic we spoke about, why was that so exploited? It was unnecessary. We need to be grateful that people are doing things for justice. So we need to be careful what we criticize and what we make to be more than what it really is.
Okay. Well, also, some of these things that are going on, do you feel, as you've talked about it this week, that there are some people who actually would want to see the U.S. descend into a race war? It seems that sometimes that every time a shooting like this happens, they identify with the race instead of identifying with the characteristics causing the person. I guess because in this particular case, this person made race an issue. But if you were to put that aside, do you think that the media does tend to focus on race regardless if it was a matter of the shooting?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm white. If some white person does something, does that necessarily represent me personally? Of course not. And I'm white. But I also have a lot of other character traits. I'm a woman. I have certain belief systems. And I support the black community. So what does that make me? So there's pieces of me. So when you represent yourself as someone who is all of something else, that's a false premise because nobody represents everything. We have little differences in us that we need to explore and discuss. Nothing is black and white. When you want people to see you as a person, an individual, you don't go around saying, I'm black, I'm black, I'm black, because that's not all you are. You can't connect.
You know, you said something interesting on TV this week that I think I got a lot of people talking about. It was on Pix 11. And you said that we're all a little black. I was wondering if you can elaborate on that. Do you think that, what were you saying when you meant by that?
Well, that's true. And our ancestors that we don't know about could have easily have black heritage to it or mixed races. We don't know. But then what's so wrong with that? What's wrong with having a mixed race in your family? So it's not that it has to be we're white and you're black or vice versa. We're all in it together, as I said. We all want the same thing. So why are we bickering about nonsense? When we're talking about Bruce Jenner, he didn't portray who he really was inside. Who he really was how he felt like he was a woman. Did we interrogate him? No. Everyone is allowed to have their own feelings justified. So when we're talking about someone who has transsexual orientation or somebody who has a transracial orientation, that is their right to be who that person is.
Let's go a little further. Is that in our culture, there is a pattern that we always see where if somebody does something, depending on they're always if they're black, if they're a woman, it all depends on what their nationality is. But they're always saying, "Well, you're the first woman to do this. You're the first black man to do this." Why do they associate the race so strongly with this? Do you feel that it is a the society is still culturally racist? I almost feel like this is more significant if it was back in the 60s, but it seems to be that on a mainstream conscious level that people are generally much more accepting of others than they ever have, despite what they would want you to believe.
That's true, and it's sad because when you're focused and targeted on one part of that person and it doesn't represent, as I said, all of that person, you forget that whole picture, and then that becomes the topic. Hillary running for president is a woman running for president. Well, let's look at what Hillary has to offer let's look at who she is as a person, as a candidate for this country. Let's not get wrapped up in women's rights and a powerful woman or the way she spoke or the way she looked or what she said about the color of her hair not turning gray. I mean, who really cares? We have terrorists in our lives. We have recessions going on. We have economic stress. We have stress for people who are not paid the amount they should be paid, that they're underpaid. They can't function.
Okay.
Infrastructure. We have all this stuff going on, and they're fixated about the way she spoke or looked or whatever. Who cares? Because she's a woman.
Do you mind if I, in the last 10 years of your practice, what has been the most significant change or trend that you've seen and why people get stressed and why people are upset?
Well, first of all, the most significant change I've seen is there are more men coming in. It used to be mostly women. And the one thing I do remember when I was being psychoanalyzed to go into my for my PhD, my therapist said to me that a woman's place is in the home. And, of course, I never came back to see him. So things have changed. Women are coming in with different issues. It's not only the men who are going out having affairs. It's the women. And actually the laws in New Jersey are that it doesn't even matter if you had an affair or not. It has nothing to do with alimony or payments or anything. So things have changed in that area. And the biggest stressors, I find that when I had a practice in Manhattan, people used to come in to be analyzed, which means to just evolve because we all have issues as we go on in our lives, and it's how to cope with those issues. And here in New Jersey, they come in because there's a reason to come in, but what does happen eventually is they find that they keep evolving when those reasons are over, and their lives keep changing and they keep growing. So that's been the change in therapy.
Okay. And the men that are coming in, do you think it's much more acceptable for a man to receive, you know, assistance or a man to receive psychological evaluations?
Well, you know, it's changed. Therapy has changed. People come in that are very much like me. This is not social work. These are people who excel in life and do extremely well. But they want to fine-tune their lives, and that's where they come in. These aren't people who don't have mentally ill issues or medication issues. They're my neighbors. They're people who are professionals, men who come in. I had one cardiologist coming in not knowing his partner. The other cardiologist was also coming in. So it's, you know, people who are very evolved to begin with who want even more. That's how therapy has changed and gone in that direction. So anybody can come in. I mean, I used to go once a week, and I miss it, to the city with Dr. Spotnitz. You know, I shouldn't even mention his name. That's not ethical. But
well,
I did.
As a psychologist, how does it help you? Do you feel that you're able to actually talk? I mean, how does it work out? How does one psychologist go to another psychologist? And do you disagree? Do you generally find somebody that has a similar practice you do?
If I go to another psychologist?
Yeah, like a similar methodology or style.
It depends. You try, but everybody's different because you actually go to the person, not to the degree, basically. Everyone is eclectic. Everyone has their different ways of handling things. If you go to somebody you feel taken care of, you know, there's a misconception. You go in, they say a word, you feel understood. Not enough. Need somebody proactive.
No.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. It's going in that direction.
I was wondering if we could just shift a little bit and talk
about
Rachel Dulles, because you talked about that extensively. And this lady got a tremendous amount of backlash. And for our listeners out there who are not fully aware, Rachel Dulles was a leader of the NAACP. She was pretending to be black. And it turns out, she's white, and apparently it was a big deal. And I mean, she could have done a lot of great things, or she could have had a lot of accomplishments. But I'm curious just to know, Dr. Frieda, why you feel there was such a blowback and such a backlash against this.
Well, you know, first of all, just to inform the listeners that the NAACP does not discriminate against white or black. You can be either one and be involved. And Rachel did go through the processes developmentally that were very appropriate, that she identified with what was going on in her life and in her community. And then she went ahead and supported that cause, and then she became proactive, and she sought for justice, and she did all the things that were very honorable for her situation. Her becoming black and not telling the truth about it wasn't even a big issue at the time, because that's how she wanted to be seen, so she could connect in a different way, not as an outsider. And, you know, as I said, Bruce Jenner did that, and he wasn't ridiculed for that, and he represented himself differently than who he really felt. And there are a lot of people who aren't able to represent themselves for who they really are. So that's really something that everyone needs to know, that you are allowed to be something that other people may not support. But then again, she did other things that are being investigated. And she was not ethical. And she said things that were not necessarily true in other areas I can't talk about yet, because it's coming out, it's being investigated. So she claimed she had death threats. And so was that really true? But maybe it was for a cause, because, you know, there are people who do things that set things up to make a point. So that is something that they get away with, and she is not getting away with. And we have to look at
it. It could be pretty shocking. Now, that itself.
And by the way, Reverend Al Sharpton, Ryan, also, he set up a rape stage with this girl, Rwanda.
Tawana Brawley?
Right. And it wasn't even true.
Yeah.
So,
and
that
person got. I mean, the police, I think the person who was accused was destroyed, had his whole life wrecked. Even just the accusation of that.
That's right. So we're looking at situations in history that this happens a lot, and people get away with it because they want to make a point. So she's not a terrorist. We're investigating her more than we would a terrorist, by the way, because it's already over the top. And we have so many other things to look at. You know, racial divide, racial a killing of black communities, what's going on with the infrastructure, why are these people so low in the totem pole of being paid appropriately, being educated appropriately. These are the things where if you want to put your anger somewhere and you want to make a real difference, don't talk about a person's spraying her face in dreadlocks. It's silly.
Yeah. Now, I'd like to shift a little bit to something else, which is also dominating the headlines, and that is this ever-expanding list of contenders for President of the United States. Before we go into each one...
This is fun. This is a fun topic.
Yeah, I would love to know, before we go into each one, I first thought, what is the psychological composition of somebody who says, I want to be president? Do you think that you have to have a psychological imbalance to want to be president, like an unusually, like an unhealthy ego to say that you want to be president?
That is such a bright question. You know, psychopaths are often presidents.
Really?
You know, we're talking about selfies and psychopaths, but they're often presidents because they're self-absorbed, they're narcissistic, they often don't connect emotionally, and they're very powerful. And women like these guys, by the way. So here we are talking about, you know, presidential candidates. And you have to have an ego to run for office to begin with. You have to know how to present yourself and think that people will think a lot of you. So, you know, Donald Trump came on. I mean, he's fun. I'm a rich man, and I have $8.5 billion, which I think he has $4-something billion. And, you know, I can make the difference, and then ridiculing everyone else. Well, you know, the truth is, maybe he could make a better difference than the Bushes, because, please, not another nightmare. We've had two times already them in our terms and running for office and becoming president, and that's plenty. So, you know, yeah, he's a little bit crazy, Maybe we're all a little bit crazy. Maybe he can do something for us, Donald Trump, and then there's Hillary.
Okay, well, before we do this, let's have a fun way of this. I want to make this really fun for everyone.
Okay.
And let's do each candidate. I'm going to ring off each candidate. I'd like you to tell me their strongest psychological strength and their strongest psychological weakness. Also, you said that people who run for president tend to be psychopaths. So what we'll do is we'll do a grade rating after each one on a grade from A to F, A being the highest. Who can you tell has a strong characteristics or qualities of a psychopath based on their personality, okay? So you were just talking about Donald Trump. What is his strongest, what is his weakness, and how would you grade him as terms of is he a psychopath?
Well, he's the strongest. He's the really up there. Because for somebody to get up there and say, I'm rich, you know, all right, if he were my relative, I'd be very happy. But as president, what's he really going to do for me? Is he going to make me more money from the recession? And how powerful can he really be? So, yeah, he's number one of big ego, saying he has more money than he has, and what are the issues? The issues are, what is he really going to do? We're still waiting to hear most of those
issues. What's his negative? What are his negative psychological qualities?
When you pat yourself on the back too much, you don't leave any room for other people to do that for you. So there's nowhere to go with this. He needs to be to step back, be a little bit modest, be a little bit humble, and talk about humanity, and talk about people who are in need, people who need to have food on the table, and what we can do to make changes. And so everyone has opportunities. Very much like the Pope said, that we need to change the way we think. And this is a coming of our time. It's a wonderful time to start doing this.
Okay. Now, what about, how would you grade him on an A through F? Is he a psychopath?
Absolutely. He gets an A for that.
He gets an A, so you think he's just Donald Trump?
Yes, he's a definite psychopath, and women love that. Women love a man who is extremely confident.
What were we doing wrong all these years? I was trying to
tell
him.
Well, you care too much. If you don't care about somebody, they're going to run after you. If you don't want them, if you think you're too good for everybody, and if you leave a trail of money, forget about it. You'll have a trail following you wherever you go.
That's really great. Okay, so let's go to the next one. Next one who's also running is Jeb Bush. Positives, negatives, and grade scale of a psychopath.
I hate to say this, completely negative. Even the way
this
he
guy,
speaks.
Jeb Bush?
I don't like him. I'm sorry.
Well,
no, we're never going to talk again.
I know.
What
about positive? Does he have any discernible positive psychological? Really?
Well, he has a demeanor about him that is confident and is soft, which you sort of sit and you want to hear what he has to say because he does not throw it out at you. So he does have that approachable profile about him. What bothers me about him is the history that he's bringing with him. And that history has not worked. And I would love to have somebody fresh where there's some hope. So I don't feel a sense of hope. I feel we're going to be repeating. No matter how nice he is, and no matter what he says, everyone is looking at him, but they're also looking at his father and his brother while they're seeing him.
Okay, so you think these things are now... Do you see that is he a psychopath? Grade scale, A through F, level of degree
of
psychopath.
Well, as I said, everybody has to have a little psychopath in them to be running, for sure. Everybody has to be full of themselves and not care
sure,
so much what the other
degree.
People
now,
think.
When we say psychopath, we like to think psychopath is
so
a negative thing.
From 1 to 10, are you telling me to
No, like A through F. A through F. Well, yeah, sure, 1 through 10, whatever way you want to. Scale of 1 to 10, to what degree do you sense that he is a psychopath?
I think he's a B. I think he's a B.
Oh, he's a B? Okay.
The way he approaches the podium.
All right, so he's not fully committed.
No.
All right. Next one we have is Senator Ted Cruz from Texas. What are his positive and negative psychological qualities? And is he a psychopath? Dr. Frieda.
Well, you know, he posted on Twitter that he's running for president. He hopes to earn everyone's support, and he's trying to give an earnest approach. He's trying to have opportunities to give his opinions. So he's not going down this power trail. So as far as psychopath, I would say he is more of a C. He's down
okay.
there. He's not up
see,
there.
See, so he doesn't. You don't see a lot of the dominating qualities of the.
No, I think he's trying to be sincere. His facial gestures, the way
right.
he is trying to connect. Go ahead.
Sure. Now let's go right into the. We're gonna jump over to the Democratic Party real quick, and let's talk about Hillary Clinton. Positives,
oh
negatives,
goodness.
And is she a psychopath?
Well,
right. And Dr. Frieda, what do you think?
Well, positive that she is a woman. Negative that as a woman, she's still looking for husband support and kept a marriage which should have been gone long ago. So power is what she's trying to present herself to be powerful, but how powerful can you be when you look away when your husband is doing you-know-what with everybody around?
So
I don't really think that's
because of something that is out, I mean, it seems like, is it beyond her control that this happens? Do you think that's going to, is that a reflection on her, even though, I mean, she really, not something that she did?
Well, what's interesting, Ryan, is we look for presidents that are grounded, that have families. It's not a coincidence that most presidents are married with families. Although I've always found it strange that mayors are usually not married. So think about that one. I have to do research on this one, why that is the case. But, you know, that's what we do look for. We look for. We want to know the intrinsic qualities of this individual. How does she adjust to a relationship or he? Is he someone who's dependable? Is he somebody that makes right decisions for his family? You know, that goes across the board because small thinking leads to bigger thinking. It's very similar. So we look for that trend. She has presented something that's not completely solid, that, yes, she wants to be the president of the United States, and I admire that ambition. But I'm also wondering at what cost. You know, my book, What Price Power, went in a direction where on a personal level I had a relationship and instead first, and then I'm looking for something, a powerful position. She went the other way. She gave up a relationship that I think that should have been worked on or changed in order to have power. So I have a little dispute with that. Is she a psychopath? As a woman, you have to be even stronger than a man to be out there. The competition is fierce. The criticism is more. And they really scrutinize every little thing you do, much more under magnifying glass that they wouldn't do with a man. They wouldn't really do this. So, yes, so, very much so. Let's give her an A.
and Dr. Frieda, for the sake of time, we're just about out of time. We're going to have to come back to this. This is a fascinating discussion, and the show went by so fast. Dr. Frieda, where can people learn more about you?
Well, if they want to keep up with what I'm doing, it's drfrieda.com, drfrieda.com, and we'll find out together where I'm going, but hopefully great things, and being with you, I'm always going to great places. What can I tell you, Ryan?
Thank you so much. And
sure.
You've listened to Living Out Loud with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. We will be back here next week, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't you dare think about not tuning into this incredible show.
It's always fun.
Have an unbelievable weekend.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.